Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. CC Wine is helping us get started. Telling us we should be dancing in the spirit. Look at where he's brought me from. I can hardly hold my peace, and I sure can't keep my seat. You better give me some room to run. Just as sure as the anointing comes, I'll be dancing in the spirit. You should praise him. Praise him till you feel it. I'll be dancing in the spirit. You should praise him. We'll be hearing some more of that. Wow. Some energy, energizing energy in that song. I tell you what, I like the words, but I also like the music, especially that horn section. Oh, yeah, they got something happening with those horns in this song. I'm liking that. But what are we talking about today with regards to spiritual perspectives? Because, of course, this is a day, another edition. The day for another edition of Spiritual Perspectives. Well, let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to actually combine two of my program's features. A lot of you know that for years I've been doing Spiritual Perspectives. A lot of you know that for years I've been doing Health Matters. And when I say for years, I mean we started this in 2005. And the essential makeup of the program has not changed. I think that, in fact, I know in some ways it has improved as I have added more features. But when it comes to some of the features such as health matters, educational matters, business matters, these and more have always been a part of Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I mean, back when we started the program in Aiken, South Carolina, we were doing these features. And so they remain a part of the program because they're just as essential and relevant now as they were then. And so this time, I'm going to deliberately combine spiritual perspectives with health matters because we're really going to be focusing on both. Sometimes there may be some hints of one or the other, even when the focus may be this particular feature. In today's discussion, we're really going to be focusing on both. As a matter of fact, health matters, this is what we're going to be looking at today. The focus will be spiritual health, physical health, family health. Spiritual perspectives coming together with health matters. And the health, we'll be looking at the health of the body, the health of the spirit, the health of the family, particularly the health of the married couple. And what I want to show, connections between these. Because the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we really are, as I've mentioned before, spirit and body. We are spirit and we are body. That is the very reason that when the Lord Jesus was resurrected, God did not leave his body in the grave and have his spirit return. I mean, you think about it, and I know some of you are saying, wait a minute, hold up. He was walking around talking with people and his body would have been left in the grave. How many people have talked with angels who looked just like human beings. So I'm just saying, remember now, there were angels who decided that they were no longer satisfied with what God had given them and where he had placed them. They decided that after they had seen the beauty of those gorgeous women on earth, that they were going to leave what they had and leave where they were, come to the earth and start marrying these women so that they could start having sex with these women. And then they became fallen angels. Nevertheless, they were, and this is my main point, they were spirit beings that could not only be seen by humans, but could also be felt by humans, could be heard by humans. Yeah, so don't think that, you know, that sounds far-fetched, the notion that God could raise Jesus from the dead and raise only his spirit and leave his body in the grave. That could have been done, and Jesus could have still done everything he wanted to do and needed to do. But here's the thing. Because he was spirit and body, both his spirit and his body were raised from the dead. Both his spirit and his body came out of the grave and out of that tomb where he was buried. And don't assume for a second now that this wasn't really truly a physical body. There were some who doubted that he had indeed risen from the dead. I mean, from amongst his own people, some of his closest followers. There were some who really didn't believe him. Thomas was one of the big ones. Not blaming him, not criticizing him, but just pointing out Thomas was one of the ones who made it clear that he wasn't convinced that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And when Jesus appeared, he said, hey, come, look, touch. Ghosts don't have flesh and bone, as you see I have. He didn't say flesh and blood. Flesh and bone. Flesh is physical. Bone is physical. His physical body reconnected with his spirit when he was raised from the dead. And so he, being spirit and body, resurrected at the same time and did what he did. And so we really are spirit and body. We leave this earth now and we go to heaven. Only our spirits go to heaven at this point in time. Our bodies remain wherever they're buried or cremated, where and thrown, ashes thrown into the water, wherever. The bodies remain where they remain for now. But we've been told about a resurrection that will occur for us, at which time our bodies will be raised from the dead, and they will be raised as incorruptible bodies that can no longer be accessed by sickness, disease, death, none of that will be able to touch our glorified bodies, which are the types of bodies we will have when our bodies are raised from the dead. And our bodies will be raised from the dead, and each of us will have our bodies reconnecting with our spirits because we are spirit and body. That's why when one is affected, the other is affected so much of the time. So much of the time. And I mean, very often, if we're paying close enough attention, we can pick up on the connection. We can pick up on, hey, this is what happened to my body. And as a result, my soul or my spirit began to react this way. Or, man, I was so depressed in my spirit, including my emotions, that over time, eventually, I became physically worn out because we are spirit and body. And I'm saying that to say this, to understand and to accept that we are spirit and body will help us begin to gain a better appreciation of how our lifestyles can often impact the health of our spirits and the health of our bodies and the health of our marriages. So let me start with, I'm going to be coming to marriages a little later, but let me start with the connection between the body and the spirit. Now, I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to share with me as you're listening to it. I want you to share with me, convey to me, tell me what the connection is. I'll be reading a number of scripture passages as we go along in this conversation. And I'm going to start in Isaiah chapter 3. And I want to start with verse 8. It says, Jerusalem staggers. Judah is falling. Their words and deeds are against the Lord, defying his glorious presence. The look on their faces testifies against them. They parade their sin like Sodom. You remember what was happening with Sodom? Abraham's nephew Lot and his family had gone to live in Sodom when, during their journey together, Abraham and Lot agreed that their servants, the number of their servants, the number of their animals had grown so large that they were finding it very, very difficult to continue to keep their resources combined together, keep their servants in the same places. And so they agreed that they would split, they'd part, they'd go their separate ways, not in anger, but just for the sake of peace. So, as you know, Abraham gave Lot the choice, and he let him know, hey, look, you choose which direction you're going to go in. And whatever direction you go in, I'll go the opposite direction. So Lot chose the direction that put him in Sodom. And as we know, Sodom was a place where bad things were really flaunted, including homosexuality. And when I say homosexuality, generally, I'm referring to same-sex activity, whether it be between males or females. In this particular case, when we find Lot in Sodom, we only read about the male homosexuality. But it was bad. It was so bad that when the men of that town saw two other, what they thought to be men, show up at Lot's house, they decided they wanted to get with them. They wanted to have sex with these two men whom they had never met before. You know how a lot of people are. A lot of women are like this. A lot of men are like this. And I'm saying men and women. Teenagers too, male and female. Someone they've never seen before. Person hadn't been around before. Fresh. Yeah, fresh. Don't know what that person's been, where that person's been, what they were doing, where they came from, but they just assumed fresh. So these men, seeing these two, what they thought were men, but were actually angels, visiting Lot, decided that they were going to go to Lot's house and make it clear they wanted to have sex with those men. You know, you got the town showing up, and they want to have sex with the men. My guess is really what they were wanting to do is rape those two men who had shown up at Lot's house. And so that's pretty bad. They're trying to beat Lot's door down and told him, hey, look, you send that man out here for us, or we're coming in and we're going to do worse to you than we were going to do to them. See, they weren't thinking about something that would be a pleasurable experience for everyone involved, including the two guests of Lot. They were planning. They had their minds made up. They were going to rape those two men. Lot told them, hey, listen, I have two daughters in here who have never been touched by a man. Let me send them out to you. I didn't like that answer either, but let me send them out to you. Those men did not want the women. They were not interested in those two virgins. They wanted the two men who, as I said a little earlier, were not really men. They were in the form of men, but they were actually angels. These guys trying to beat the door down. One of the angels reached out, grabbed Lot, pulled him into the house. One of the angels struck the residents of Sodom, the ones who were trying to rape them, struck them with blindness so that they couldn't see anymore. Now, you know this is bad. These people have just lost their sight. And they were so entangled in darkness and the madness of the depths of darkness that despite the fact that they had just lost their sight, rather than start crying and screaming because they couldn't see anymore, instead, they decided to try to feel their way to the door of Lot's house so that they could still break in and pull those two men out so that they could rape them. They were still focused on raping two total strangers despite the fact that they could no longer see. That's bad. And I'm telling you, for them to be that far gone, that they would choose to go about without their sight as long as they could rape those two men, that is truly flaunting their homosexuality. Flaunting it bad. And this is the backdrop for the prophet's words regarding Sodom. They parade their sin, but only now they're talking about Jerusalem. This is supposed to be in Judah. This is supposed to be a group of people who belong to the Lord. They were, quote unquote, the Lord's people. And they were parading their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. And this is what the prophet said on God's behalf. Woe to them! They have brought disaster upon themselves. Now that is going to serve as the lead-in for where we'll be going with this discussion. They have brought disaster upon themselves. Any of you able to look back and see something bad that happened in your life, and you can see how something you did and or something you said is what opened the way for that bad to come into your life? Now, this is going to require that we be very, very honest again. You all know this is the program that's all about real talk about the real world. Real talk about real life. So let's be real. I'll be back in just a few.